Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you're glad you, if you've already been listening, I'm glad that you are, and we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to get smarter, too, because our good friend Lynn Morella is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Lynn is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is the ethical expert in our Brain Trust. Heck, he's the ethical expert wherever he goes. He's the author of In Search of Ethics, second edition. He's the guy who taught us that ethics is devotion to the unenforceable, which is a wonderful way to think. And, folks, if you haven't heard that before, I'm going to say it again because I want you to write it down. This is going to be on the test. Ethics is devotion to the unenforceable. Lynn Morella, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Jimmy. Let me tell you that my third edition of the book is now out as of a few
All right.
weeks ago.
Congratulations, because I've got the first and the second edition. I can't wait for my third edition to get here, and I hope it's autographed.
Well, I'll make sure that happens.
Lynn, we've let the ethical wheels run off the track on so many levels in too many powerful ways, and mostly, in my opinion, on Wall Street and in Washington. Main Street still has to behave themselves, because their behavior, if it's not good, they pay for it immediately. Because if they don't add value, you know, they lose. We lose on Main Street. But in Wall Street, in Washington, it seems that it's not the same thing. Help us out with this.
You know, Jim, it may even be bigger than that. What I've noticed, what I've discovered in the research for my books, is that everywhere I go and talk to people, they tell me the values that they believe in. You know, they all tell me that they believe in honesty, mm-hmm. they believe in respect, they believe in responsibility, they believe in fairness or justice, and they believe in caring or compassion, and they believe in freedom. But when you watch their behavior, I find out there's a major disconnect between the values we profess and the behavior we exhibit. And when I look at the statistics of kids cheating in schools, and the fact that nobody's really calling them up on it or doing too much about it in many places,
mm-hmm.
why are we surprised that we have these problems with the industry when people go off to college and go off to jobs with the idea that I got to make more money, I got to have more position, I have to have more power?
I'm thinking of two quotes right now as you say these things. Confucius, and I'm not sure I'm quoting him exactly, but it's pretty close. He said something like 2,000 years ago. Confucius said the best way to a good life is to be in reality what you appear to be. And the other thing I was thinking about, you're talking about the children, is something from Ecclesiastes. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge.
Well, it's very obvious to me it has to happen at an early age. And part of our problem is because people are working so hard, two members of the family working.
Yep.
In many cases, single parents. I have nothing against single parents, but it's tough enough with two parents to raise children, let alone one person who has to run a house and run a job and run a family.
Right.
So if it doesn't happen in the family, it has to happen in the schools.
But it doesn't matter whether it's one parent, two parent. If the children are seeing this kind of behavior, and I'm not talking about from the parents, wherever they're seeing it, if this behavior on television and movies, if this behavior, you know, how long has it been since we saw a movie that had a moral in it, or a television show that had a moral in it?
Well, what's so discouraging is that I understand Hollywood producers look for ways to get R ratings, because R ratings sell better than PG ratings.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do we do about this, Len? What's the answer?
Well, I think we have to do is we have to do everything we can to let society know that parenting is the first line of defense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If it doesn't happen at home, it's really tough. Then the second line of defense is schools, because kids spend, you know, one half of their
yeah.
working life in school, mm-hmm. and there are lots of opportunities for role models, and there are a lot of fine teachers, a lot of fine role models
yep.
out there. But sometimes I don't think it's comprehensive enough. I don't think it's instilled in the culture of the schools, where it's cool to be, you know, we need to make it cool to be honest and cool to be responsible. And
are you reporting here today that cheating in high school has increased?
Well, if it hasn't increased, it's pretty much stayed the same, and that's about 2 out of every 3 kids admit, you know, readily admit to cheating in school,
mm-hmm.
and they don't think much about it. They don't think it's a big deal. They don't think,
yeah.
What they say is, I don't get caught very often, and when I do, there's no consequences. So
right.
that's an easy way to get a, you know, to get ahead.
Yeah.
That's,
hold on to that thought. Lynn Morales, our guest, folks, his book is called In Search of Ethics. 3rd edition right now is out. He and I will be right back. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Little Van Halen bringing us back. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check it out. I hope you use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get to my website, check out the blog, check out the archives of past interviews that we've done, especially ones we've done with our good friend Lynn Morella, who's with us right now. He's on all over our website. And also, there are thousands, by the way, of archives that you can listen to. There are articles that you can read that I've written or my Brain Trust members have written. I've got a little quote there on the homepage that you'll like. And we've also got a one-minute motivational minute, a small business minute, which is the first one is narrative. The second one is an audio, little one-minute audio file. If you got 15 seconds or 15 minutes, we got something for you to help you with your small business. Lynn Morella is with us. He's our guest and the author of In Search of Ethics, out now in his 3rd edition, and we're talking about ethics. Lynn, you've talked about devotion to the unenforceable. One of my favorite other quotes on this topic is Camus. Albert Camus said, integrity has no need of rules.
Well,
I think a lot of times in our society we're looking around saying, well, you know, no, there's no rule against this. That must mean I can do it. And so where's the integrity check going to come from, Lynn?
Well, I often use the distinction that between compliance with laws and obedience to the unenforceable. You know, whenever there's a number of ethical lapses, somebody develops some regulations, and now the regulations are piled to the ceiling, and regulations are have to do with obedience to the law. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's written down. You know what exactly happens. But if you're going to be ethical, you have to. It's obedience to the unenforceable. You have to do what's right. We know what's right. 99% of the time, we know what's right. But having the courage and commitment to act accordingly is what's missing. And that's where this whole notion of ethics and character education is so terribly important.
When I was learning how to fly an airplane, my instructor would sit me up in the scenarios. He'd say, okay, this is going on, that's going on. And he'd say, okay, now would you take off right now under these circumstances? And I'd say, well, yeah, you know, it's legal. I could legally take off. He said, yeah, you'd be legal, but you'd still be dead. He said, this is a dangerous situation. You'd be be, but you'd still be dead because, you know, the regulation is not going to tell you how to use judgment and to not get yourself into a bad situation.
Well,
so, go ahead.
In many ways, it's all about leadership. It's all about example, because that's where kids learn. They don't watch your mouth; they watch your feet. And, you know, we're inclined to talk, but not walk. And it's just terribly, terribly important. To toe the line, and it's so terribly. Sometimes parents and teachers have no idea how many people are watching them, how many people really are influenced by them. That's what leadership's all about. Leadership is influence, and you don't have to be a CEO or a general to be a leader. You're a leader in every way, because
mm-hmm.
leadership is influence.
But let's talk, Lynn. Let's talk about some of the specific things that have gotten us. And we got a sack of trouble right now in our economy. A lot of it can be spread across the society, A lot of us borrowed money when we shouldn't have borrowed money. We bought houses maybe we shouldn't have bought, et cetera, et cetera. But there are a couple of groups of people that really behaved in a way that exacerbated this whole thing, that contributed. And I mean, how do we find leaders like we always have and will have? How to put people in positions who will behave ethically, who will behave with integrity?
Well, as I said earlier, Jim, I think it starts in the home. It has to start in the home. And you know, the three-legged stool has always been the home, the schools, and the churches. So those are the primary places where people learn character and develop character. So if it's not happening in the home as much as it should be, then we need to do more character education in the schools. You know, I think I mentioned to you during the break that President Teddy Roosevelt, a long time ago said, to educate a person in mind but not in morals is to educate a menace to society. And competence without character is our greatest threat. We have a lot of competent people. People go to school, they learn a lot of things, and they have jobs, they learn a lot of things, but one of those things has to be character. And competence without character is our greatest threat. So whatever we can do to develop character in kids and in workers and in students and employees, we're going to be.
Right. What would you say if I made you the ethics czar, if President Obama, I should say, called you and said, Lynn, I want you to be my ethical czar, what would be the first thing you would do? I know you'd focus on, but he says look, we can go to the schools, but before we do that, we got to work on the grown-ups right now. What would you do? What would be the first thing you'd do?
I'd find the role models that really exemplify good character.
Yeah.
And there are a number of them out there, people that have always tried to do the right thing and do the right thing. Press. But, you know, I suspect there's, for every one of those people, there are four people who are trying to do the right thing.
Well, I'll give you an example. All of the people in 2 and 03 who created Sarbanes-Oxley, and they were, and I did the math on it one time. Those companies represented 8/10,000 of all the public companies. That's not very many people.
And look at all the regulations that were created,
and all the loss of wealth, and all the damage that they did. That's the problem, folks. We got to. I don't know. We're going to get Lynn to help us sort this out some more after these messages. Tintel, stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. Game. The Small Business Advocate, Lynn Morella, is our guest. That's Morella with 2 R's and 2 L's and an E in the middle. Lynn, and the book is In Search of Ethics, second edition and third edition. The third edition has got 6 new exemplars, right?
That's correct.
Lynn?
And if people want to get the book, they can go to focusonethics.com or amazon.com or any bookstore.
Focusonethics.com. You'll enjoy. This is an important work that you'll want to read and share with other people. Lynn, last thoughts. We're going through a watershed event right now, Lynn. Paradigms are shifting everywhere. Institutions that have been around for 150 years are gone. And so there's going to be, I mean, it's almost like, to some degree, you could almost say we got a phoenix rising out of some ashes here, Lynn. How do we catch that phoenix as it's coming out and give it the right sense of character, the right sense of ethics? How do we do that? I mean, I know that you talk about schools, but let's go up a notch. Let's go up to where people are already in the marketplace. How do we get bearing in these institutions?
Well, we need a lot more national attention to it. You know, you mentioned earlier if somebody made me the ethics czar. Well, it wouldn't be.
By the way, I've got a call in to Barack about that. He'll probably call me back today.
Well, my point is it's, maybe there should be an ethics czar, or there should be an ethics department, cabinet member, so that people can get focused attention on this nationwide. Actually, worldwide. It's a worldwide problem. It's all a matter of materialism. It's all a matter of what the press is telling us. It's all a matter what the media is telling us. And they're just hearing what's happening. So it's just terribly important to get give attention to it. It's very important to make the case of why it's important. Why I submit to you, Jim, that leading being a person of character is not only going to make you more successful, it's going to make you happier, and it's going to make you healthier.
But sometimes, and of course, Lynn, you know where I come down on that. But sometimes I think there are people who get themselves into scenarios, situations in the marketplace, in politics, where all around them, that's not the case. The people who are doing so well, at least seemingly right now, are the people who are skirting the ethical, they're on the margins ethically. And then you got somebody who wants to do the right thing, and they're saying, I don't know if I can get ahead like this.
Well, that's exactly the problem. But the fact of the matter is, I think success that really endures, success that really comes, you know, that makes you feel good inside, and it's going to extend your life, and it's going to make you healthier and happier, comes from doing it the right way. I've got
an idea, Lynn. I'd like your thoughts on it. It's a mechanical thought. It's not an ethical thing. It's a mechanical thing. I think one of the worst things that ever happened to our economy, to our marketplace, was devotion to the quarterly report.
Well, I think
corporate guidance on a quarterly basis and being devoted to that and nothing but and the stock price is one of the things that creates a fever pitch, a mania for performance that cannot be sustained quarter after quarter. What do you
think? Well, I also think that bonuses are determined based on quarterly profits and promotions are based on that. So people are reacting to what gets them ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm agreeing with you. I think you're right. I think there's...
And that's not even an ethical discussion. That's a mechanical thing.
That's true. It's absolutely true. Let me show the world how well I'm doing every quarter so that I'll be better recognized, better paid, better promoted.
Watch the television programs on business and find out and count the numbers and watch it all day one day and count the times that they mention the word customer. You won't need a very long list, a long piece of paper, or a sharp pen. Pencil.
That's what customer service is all about. Is understanding that, and that's why so many. That's why every customer.
The customer, and not take. And last thoughts, Lynn. I got 20 seconds.
I can't agree with you anymore. All I want to tell you is that the educated person in mind and not in morals is the educated menace to society. And
I like
confidence
that.
Confidence about character is our greatest threat.
Well said, Lynn. Give us the website one more.
For the book, it's focusonethics.com, or if you want to contact me directly, it's leadershipandethics.com.
All right. Hey, thanks, Lynn, for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time. Keep up the good work. Lynn Morella, ladies and gentlemen. Check out his book. I think you'll like it. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. Jim Blasingame reminding you to be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.